Since 2011, American Giant has been making everyday clothing with extraordinary effort. Not in far-off factories, but right here in the USA. We obsess over fabrics, fit, and details, because if you're going to wear it every day, it should feel great and last for years. From the cut of a hoodie to the finishing of a seam, nothing is overlooked. Our supply chain is tight-knit and local, which means less crisscrossing the country and more care in every step. The result is durable clothing, t-shirts, hoodies, sweatpants, and denim that become part of your life season after season. This isn't fast fashion, it's clothing made with purpose by people who care as much about how it's made as how it fits. Get 20% off your first order with code STAPLE20 at American-Giant.com. That's 20% off your first order at American-Giant.com with code STAPLE20.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Ladies and gentlemen,
Please welcome.
It's the opening kickoff with Carver and Lisi.
On tonight's edition of Carver and Lisi, Sports Grid Radio, Sirius, Channel 159, Lisi in the cockpit. For the next hour, Carver out on assignment. He'll be back with me tomorrow, but fear not, we'll have everything covered for you, including the golf. No worries. Master weekend, nothing bigger. The rolling hills of Augusta. I know that's not it. It's the rolling hills of Texas, El Paso, but I have to get it in. Carver's watching a little Masters. My guy Tiger Woods, not with a bad half a first round. He started a little bit fast, playing 23 holes in round two. Nothing better than that. Maybe he's got a little giddy up in his step. So we'll see if he can actually extend. That's what it's all about. These Knicks, though, let me just say this. You want to talk about these Knicks? Unbelievable right now. You would think that Oakley and Mason and Pat Ewing are out there laying 16.5 right now. 216.5 is the in-game total. 16.5, 15-1 if you want to take a shot on the gutless Celtics. They're down 22. I need Jaylen Brown to step up. That would be ideal for me. We'll keep you... see how this plays out. I'm going to have to be looking at it in between commercial breaks. But that's what it's all about here as we welcome in our SiriusXM radio audience, Carver and Lisi in the cockpit, taking you around the golf, Major League Baseball, NBA, a little NFL draft with my good friend, former Auburn, Akron, and UL Monroe head coach Terry Bowden. We got you prepped and ready for Friday night, Saturday night. This is what it's all about, baby. Give us a call, 844-843-6879, 844-843-6879. I was talking about my guy, Tiger Woods. He's playing 23 rounds of golf on Friday, but that doesn't bother me in any way. He stepped up. His first hole was a birdie. That allowed me to buy into Tiger. You know I'm heavily invested in regards to the dark horse of the tourney. And I think he's actually got a shot. I really think he's going to make the cut. I think he's going to obviously have a big weekend. And we'll see how that plays out. Scottie Scheffler, after round one, was 6-under. Bryson DeChambeau, 7-under to lead everyone. But it really comes down to... can Tiger Woods still make a run? Can he make a top 20? Can he make a top 10? Can he be in there in regards to the final round? You know, come Sunday, top four. So I could obviously tweet out, I said it. Him. And golf fans want to see it as well, right? We'll see. Cam Davis, another one of my picks, was 2 under. And I'll say it now. What the heck happened to Marinotti? You want to talk about smashed? This guy got hit every which way but Sunday. 10 over, dead last. Peter Marinotti. Oh, was it the sauce, Pete? Holy cow. I mean, really? I didn't tell Carver, but Carver was ribbing me a little bit, and rightfully so. No shot. Could have gotten the caddy, David Block. What was that guy's name? The human Block? Oh, man. Could have gotten the caddy to do a better job. Marinotti, 400 to 1 for a reason. Unbelievable, terrible first round. But that's what it's all about. The fact that I'm talking about the golf is clear enough about how big this weekend is, right? And for the record, because a lot of our fans have been tweeting out, hearing it all day, put it with the golf originated on Carver and Lisi, okay? It originated with Carver, and we put it with the golf on any real bet that I put in. Put it with the golf. Why not? And I did put it with the golf. I took Dustin Johnson. Why not? Put it with the golf. 45 to 1 to win the Masters, along with the Dallas Stars, Toronto Blue Jays. So Dallas Stars to win the West at 4 to 1, Blue Jays at plus 106 to make the playoffs, and the Georgia Bulldogs to win the national championship at 3 to 1. That is a $189,420 ticket. On 10 bucks, it pays $18,952. How about that? You wanted to talk about a little kick in the ass. Awesome, baby. That's what it's all about. What else did I put with the golf? Let me see. I got the Buckeye. I told everyone this, and I might continue to monitor this over the weekend. Nate Shipley and Santiago De La Fuente, top 30. So that pays $47.75. Shipley was plus 550. Santiago De La Fuente was plus 650. Hopefully they make the cut, and we have a little bit to play with over the weekend. I did take Cam Smith, top 20 finish, and we took Pat Reed at a top 30 finish, including the ties. We, Carver and I, both profit boost that to plus 390. So we have that in the kitty. And then we also took hole-in-one for the first round, the second round, and the third round. And I don't think we hit on the first round. I could double-check that. But the first round, just so you know, was plus 550. Second round was plus 430. Third round was 8-1. So we have that in the tank for Saturday. Always big. You could get a hole-in-one. Now, Carver said on day 4, which is Sunday, they moved the pins in. I really don't care. I could care less about that. Give me day 3. You want to give me 8-1 in regards to a hole-in-one. There's nothing better than that. We also have for the weekend, and I do have a couple of picks from talking to our great producer, Matthias, UFC 300 on the horizon. And I just scrolled in regards to the card. You want to talk about knockout name after knockout name. I mean, unbelievable. You want to talk about a card that's going to get you just salivating from start to finish. A little Holly Holm action this weekend. Every fighter, bonus-wise, 300K. Are you kidding me? Kick it up, baby. Kick it up, Dana. UFC 300. There's one guy I like. He's the biggest dark horse on the... He's a plus 1060 Brunridge, whatever. Plus 1060. Forget the win. We want it by knockout at 22-1. We're coming right back. Keep it where it is.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Back on Carver and Lisi. huge weekend of sports coming up, baby. Let me tell you, Masters, UFL action. Can't wait to dive into that. I don't know if you have been following the UFL, probably no shot. A lot of those games have been trending to the under. I will pick it over. I will get one of these right over the next couple of weeks. So I've been watching it now. I feel like I have a pretty good read. I'll throw that out with Carver tomorrow when we're on air. So keep an eye out for that. I do want to talk about just a couple of takes in regards to what I believe in regards to some of the bets that I made, and not the golf, but some of the bigger, you know, tickets that I did take, and I did put it with the college football. Some teams that obviously I think will be there in regards to the playoff, at least contending for potentially a national championship. You know, I'm high on Dallas in regards to the NBA, and I understand they have a deep shot. They're 13-1. I get that. But I always tell you, like, the NBA is weird. It's a little bit like storylines, and they like to pump up certain narratives, and they like to pump up certain players that are prime for prime time. And I feel like they did that with Giannis a couple of years ago when he won, obviously, Joker last year, and rightfully so. I mean, dominant players. But I feel like the next player on the cusp is Luka. You know, I feel like the next narrative or the NBA would love to push Luka into a final if they have an opportunity. So at 13-1, I think they have the ability, if everything breaks their way, to potentially steal it. Now, last year I picked the East with Miami. I still think Philly could be live at 8-1. The Heat are at 13-1 right now as we speak. But I have a better feel, I believe, on the West for some reason. And, you know, Phoenix is 10-1. Dallas right now is 850. So I got a good number on Dallas. I got Dallas at plus 1,300 or 13-1. So Dallas is now plus 850 in regards to that. So they're the fifth best price behind Minnesota, OKC, the Clippers, and then the Nuggets. And, you know, wouldn't that be great if you somehow, some way got Denver and Dallas playing off for the West Final? They would love that. Joker squaring off against his good friend Luka. We saw it with the NBA coverage where they couldn't take the cameras off them. So that is why I jumped in on Minnesota, on Dallas. And I think Kyrie is a type of player where if he does get hot with the experience, they could potentially outscore some teams. And with things fall their way, they have an opportunity. The other one in the Major League Baseball was Toronto. And I say that because I'm still a buyer of Vlad Guerrero. I'm still a buyer of Bo Bichette. I think they have the type of lineup that potentially can challenge the likes of Baltimore and the New York Yankees. And I get that the Yankees right now are playing like one of the best teams in baseball. But like Carver says all the time, talk to me in October. Can you get these type of wins in October? And, you know, you don't want to punch yourself out, right? But I think one thing's for certain, the way they're playing, I think there's no doubt the Yankees will be there. But when you look at value and you look at where Toronto is in relation to the AL and in regards to the market, they were minus 104 about a couple of days ago to make the playoffs. And now, at least I got them at plus 106. So they are behind Toronto. The Yankees, the Strohs, the Rangers, the Orioles, the Twins, the Mariners. And I know the Orioles right now, you know, they did it last year, minus 188. I get that. But all the pressure right on the Orioles, still a young team, and the Yankees with Aaron Boone that hasn't won a big game in his life. So I like that recipe. To me, when we just look at numbers and when we look at what's there, and I don't know baseball like I do, obviously, NFL and college football, but just the numbers-wise, I'm willing to take a shot. The other one was the San Francisco Giants. I like their pitching. I like what they did in regards to getting Snell. Carver always says that they're the land of misfit toys. I understand that, but I still think they have enough in the tank. They're plus 164 right now to make the playoffs, the San Francisco Giants. And I know they're there with Arizona, and they're there with the Dodgers and Padres, but I still like where they have from a value perspective. Padres are 2-1 to make the playoffs. Dodgers, obviously, a sure thing, minus 20,000 right now, okay? To the no is 18-1. I tell you what, that Ohtani story would have to go full-blown 24-7 on the media, right? And we talked about it as well, Matias and I. Ohtani pitches and he hits, but he didn't know his translator was gambling not $1 million, not $2 million, not $10 million, not $16 million that he supposedly stole, but $40 million in a four-year period sports wagering. Not $40,000, $40 million. You want to talk about the street cred this translator had? Are you kidding me? Give me 46,000 dimes on the Royals tonight. And I'll keep pumping this. When we talk mushes on the show, that is the type of mush that you have to zero in on. Give me the Ohtani mush, okay? You know, who does the Ohtani mush like? I like DeChambeau for the Masters. Scratch it right off. Who do you like for the college football playoff? Oh, gotta be Oregon. No shot. Who do you like to win MVP? Who do you think's got a shot? Oh, gotta be the Mahomes. No shot. Just every time he speaks about sports, you just go the other way. I mean, $40 million in losses. Unbelievable. You want to talk about whiskey sour? You want to talk about Johnny Skidmarks? Unbelievable. You want to talk about the trading term hitting stops? Sold. Smash him. Hit him again. Sold. How many more? 5,000. Munch. What do you want? I'll give you 10,000 more dimes. How much do you want to put on it? The supposed thought was, you know, the new age of sports wagering was they have the in-game perspective. Try doing that with the bookie, right? They wouldn't know back in the day about sports in-game betting. With Ohtani's translator losing $40 million, they'd open up the book anytime. Where are you going? I'm going to go open up shop. Ohtani's translator's trying to put in a bet. What do you want? The game started at 8. The spread was minus 8. What do you want? I'll tell you what. I'll give you a fair minus 6 for you. No problem. What do you want? I'll give you pick 'em. How about that? Oh, man. I can't believe that. $40 million. But Ohtani didn't know anything. He's been cleared of everything. All right, we'll see how this plays out. You know what I say? Based off this, sold the Dodgers. Sell them. We'll come back with Coach Bowden talking NFL draft coming up next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You gotta ride it out all the time. I'll be riding it out straight to the NFL draft. Can't wait for that. About 2 weeks away, we're going to have a huge, huge NFL draft coverage starting on April 25th on the grid. We'll get into that. But you want to talk about the NFL draft, you want to talk about college football, no better person, coach, friend than my good friend Terry Bowden that joins me. Coach, how are you today?
Doing great. How's it going, Joe?
Doing fantastic. You know I get amped up every time the NFL draft you know, comes on the horizon. This is what it's all about, the long off season.
And it's everything. I mean, you win with players, and as the draft is going to show, players that can make plays for you, and that's why you see quarterbacks and receivers, the top six or so guys, are going to be a quarterback, and maybe throw a tackle in, an offensive tackle, and what is he doing? He's protecting the most important guy from one of the most dangerous guys, the defensive end. So it's a great time, the draft, and to watch what's going on and all the behind the scenes things, it's great to watch. I like it from two perspectives because I'm a college coach and I want to see where the best athletes are coming from, because we know there's a correlation between NFL draft picks and how good you are, your football team is. That there's a direct correlation for the teams that are playing for the championship every year. But the wise decision makers on draft day, they're playing for the Super Bowl.
Yeah, absolutely. And coach, you've coached through, you know, tons of decades, right? You 28 plus coaching at every level. You know, it started in terms of the Power Five at Auburn, where you took the team 13-0, and that was back in '93. Straight through Louisiana Monroe of the Sun Belt a couple of years ago. But I did want to break it down with you in regards to the quarterbacks. What is the biggest change that you've seen? You know, back in the early 90s to where we are, not just in terms of the athletes, right, physical attributes,
right,
but what is the hardest thing in terms of today's game to potentially teach young quarterbacks at the college level?
Well, I think that the biggest thing is they've got to be able to run and throw. I mean, that's not entirely new. But it is something that it's accepted in the NFL now, although it was a little bit later. So I think the ability to know when to run and when to pass, because you know it's important to have the poise to sit in the pocket. But nowadays, the quarterback's got to have running skills, and the key is you know, look at one, look at two, go. Look at one, look at two, go. Sit long enough, but don't sit too long, and have the ability to run and be productive and dangerous with your legs as well as your arm. And that's where a Jaden Daniels is such an interesting quarterback in the draft. Although I'm not sure he's going to be number one. They all can run pretty well, but I think the biggest thing is you've got to be able to go one, no huddle, go a little bit faster. You've got to be able to really decipher it and figure it all out on the move a lot quicker. I mean, it wasn't back 40 years ago, 1983, was my first year as a head coach. We were still in the huddle. We were still under center. We're not even totally in shotgun yet much. And so it was a different ball game back then, but now you've got to be able to operate a little bit quicker, a little faster, because things are moving faster.
Now, when I break down quarterbacks, and again, I'm not a coach, but I just watch a ton of college football. I've been doing it a long time. You and I have worked together. What I look for in a quarterback is, what does he do in terms of the team's toughest games? Does he step up? Is he cool under pressure? And I gauge a franchise guy, if the game is on the line with 2 minutes to play and we need a score or a go-ahead score or, you know, come from behind type of situation, I want to know I could rely on that guy. Is there another attribute that you look at, or is that what coaches and scouts ask you when they come to visit programs about a respective player?
It's poise under pressure. It's how they respond under difficult situations, because ultimately if your team gets where it wants to be, it's going to be a pressure. I think you go back to the days of even Montana when Bill Walsh used to say the key was a poise under pressure. In college, we used to talk to Mike Leach about decision-making and accuracy, you know, his decision-making and his accuracy. But I think poise under pressure is that confidence, that just complete, I'm in control. You know, when you look on the playing field and you see a Tom Brady or even a Peyton Manning, those guys that got on their players are in control, or what we see now, Kansas City with all the players, the way they play. It's more cerebral than it is visceral. It's not you think of Brett Favre always played from the gut, you know, but you think of a Joe Montana or some of the great quarterbacks that they're more cerebral. I think you've got to have somebody that is a total leader, and that's the thing that's always hard to tell, because I mean, arm strength, we've got that, how tall you are, what your 40-yard dash time is, the wingspan, all those things we can determine, but what's inside inside between the ears is one of those things, and what's in the heart, and how they compete, how a the competitiveness of your quarterback, and you see it so many in the great quarterbacks. There's just a competitiveness that, I mean, they don't even want to ever retire. They keep on playing because of their love of the game. So that's what's going to separate, because there's going to be quarterbacks taken. You know, quarterbacks and receivers, there's going to be quarterbacks taken, and there's going to be several of them this year early. And they're all looking for that guy that has the intangible, and that's sometimes the hardest thing to figure out.
Yeah, I agree with that. And, you know, when I look at the quarterbacks as well, we talk about Caleb Williams, whether you believe he's the top pick or not. I believe it's Daniels. But if you believe that, he's still not most likely going to be taken number one overall. It will be Caleb Williams to the Chicago Bears, and then 2, 3, and potentially 4 slots after. That's where we're looking in terms of movement. I think there's no doubt that Washington goes with Jaden Daniels, just because of his versatility, his ability to take a game over, and he did it in terms of the team's biggest, you know, games of the season, Alabama, Ole Miss. But you hear a lot of talk about J.J. McCarthy now. And McCarthy, because he won a national championship and because he comes from that pedigree, how important is that in terms of assessing not a first-round talent, but a top-three talent overall?
Yeah, he's been a part of a winning program, and that's one of these things, those guys that know how to win. I mean, you're talking about a guy that if he's not the first pick, he's got a chance to be the first two or third pick. You talk about Tom Brady from Michigan. What was he, a seventh rounder, fifth rounder? He was back in the pack. But he had that special quality. I think J.J. is probably, the most thing I hear is that they feel like there's still a little bit of development. He's the guy. Is the question is he the guy right now, or are we going to have to get a little more development through him? And you know, they were not a quarterback throwing every down type of team. He was part of a running power football team that ran and throw. But that still is the debate. I see Drake May as he's the one that, because I'm like you, Daniel's got the X factor. I think Caleb, everybody likes the overall package with Caleb Williams, but Daniel's, when somebody wants to say, okay, I want a guy that's got a chance to be something even more special. His athletic ability, running and throwing skills are so good. But I will say this, when you talk about the prototypical NFL quarterback, and everybody has their different point of view. Every personnel director, every general manager, every head coach has got their little viewpoint of what they're looking for. But I'm seeing Drake May get a lot more. It's just he's pushing for those top three positions, and there's really four quarterbacks, but I think you don't know. I think number one, I think Caleb Williams, everybody, I think there's a consensus that he's just a little bit more overall better. He checks off enough check marks on enough areas. But if you're saying I want a chance for the special guy, Jaden Daniels is that special guy.
Yeah, I agree with you. I do want to talk quickly about May. We have about a couple of minutes before we go into break. Drake May has been said that his feet are a mess, okay? And I'm a big believer, number one, in regards to if the guy could play at an elite level, you don't change it. I heard Nick Saban say this about a punter in one of his books, where the punter was kicking a certain way and somebody on the staff told him to do it technique-wise a different way. He was shanking punts, and Nick said, just let him kick it the way it is. But that's number one. Number two is that I don't think Drake May is a first-round talent. But that being said, if his feet do need to be changed because of the technique, how easy of a fix is that in terms of, could that be done in a 4-month period, or is that more a year or two type of work in progress?
Well, I'm gonna say this: he's run for about 700 or 800 yards the last two seasons. So when he decides to take off, he does know what he's doing. Whether his feet are perfect, you know, I used to tell my quarterbacks, and I had Jimbo Fisher was the first quarterback I ever signed out of high school. And I've had some great quarterbacks who went on to be great coaches more than great NFL players. But I used to tell them that I can tell you how to throw, when to throw. I mean, I can tell you when to throw, where to throw, and why to throw. I just can't tell you how to throw. You better know know how to do that. And if they've got their own little thing, if they've got their own way of doing it, because some guys are a little more sidearm, or some people a little more over the top. Some people are just a little different. So, again, if you're a premier quarterback by the time you get out of college, I don't know how much you're going to change a little bit of the of his mechanics if he's great at what he does. Because when it comes down to it, getting ball to point A and point B is the key to it. And everybody's got a little different style and a little different technique.
We're coming right back with Coach Bowden. We'll be right back.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
And we're back. Carver and Lisi continuing the conversation of the NFL draft. What better way to break down the NFL draft, a little college football, than with my good friend Terry Bowden, who's on the guest line. Coach, let me ask you, before we talk about the wide receivers in this class,
yeah,
you can't get like Mike Gundy got in that press conference anymore with the current state of college football, can you? It's not like back in the day where, you know, the intense locker rooms, right? A little bit different type of landscape in today's game.
Yeah, really, it really is. It's just such a different way you have to deal with the players, and with the movement we have now in college football, and the situation as it is, it's a delicate situation. And sometimes the only thing you can do is have the relationship you have with your players and how you handle that locker room. And it's one of those things that it's changed a lot just because. And I was social media and everything is quickly put out somewhere else, and everything you say, everything you do, it's a much more different environment now than it was 15, 20 years ago.
Yeah, absolutely. If I would have told you back in 1993, you know, fast forward 30 years, and the players are going to have cell phones, you know, in the locker room at halftime,
that's
you would
right.
have thought I was crazy, right? But it's unbelievable in terms of what you see out of some of these programs. We did talk about the quarterbacks. I do want to jump into the top two wide receivers in the draft, Marvin Harrison Jr. and Malik Nabers. And reports came out last week, or over the weekend, which I love this. This is what comes out. Negative reports about Malik Nabers being a selfish player, didn't want to go to certain, you know, franchises, and all this negativity about Malik Nabers. And one, it drives me nuts because I watched him perform at elite level from Baton Rouge, know a lot of people from the LSU contingency.
Right.
And that was supposedly not the case. The other thing, though, too, is you're talking about that about Malik Nabers, and then the flip side, you have Marvin Harrison Jr. that didn't attend the NFL Combine, didn't attend the NFL Combine interview, didn't even do a pro day, but that's all well and good. How could you have both sides of the fence?
It's the nature of the business now, you know. Harrison, of course, he's got some family ties, and so there's some NFL connection there that they're probably a little more concerned. They're probably think twice before they say as many things. But I'm in Louisiana. Nabers is a great football player. And the longer you sit on top with all the reports and all the write ups and all the positive, it's going to turn negative eventually. They're going to start finding negative things. That's why you almost want the draft to get there, because toward the end of the game, they've said everything good they can say about you, and now a negative comes out, or something comes out, and you can overanalyze this stuff, because I promise you, I've seen it before. Even the NFL scouts, they'll start overanalyzing and really talk themselves out of something that is so obvious. These are great athletes, and all I would say is 6'4". I mean, 6'3" or 6'4". So Marvin Harrison has got more length. And that, I think that makes him a little more more valuable, or maybe one spot ahead. But you're talking about top six places. And again, you can see why the explosiveness of the quarterback position and the wideout position, you can see why when there's a great one there, you got a wideout, because a wideout can do two things. One, he can go out there and have a big play. His big play potential, he can be one-on-one, have a big play, and his scoring potential is so high. And of course, the quarterback is going to touch the ball every two times, every one half of the game. The quarterback is going to touch the football, and so those two guys have a chance to make not just be great athletes, but have big plays. And you've got two big playmakers in Marvin Harrison and Neighbors. I think Harrison has got more height, and I think that's what's going to maybe elevate him one place or one notch above the other.
Yeah, I agree 100%. I will say this as well in regards to don't count out Brian Thomas from LSU.
No.
Big body, too. 6'3", about 210, and runs a 4.34 40. About Jaden Daniels and those numbers. Malik Neighbors had half the yards. The other yards were compiled by Brian Thomas. And you talk about the lineage of LSU wide receivers in the NFL. Jamar Chase,
correct,
Justin Jefferson, OBJ, you know, Landry. I mean, the list goes on and on in regards to just how productive they are. So that's something to keep an eye out on as well. I do want to talk, because you're going to be with me as well, and when Mike's back as well, we'll have you on breaking more NFL draft coverage and college football as well. But quickly in regards to the current landscape, you know, Lane Kiffin, Dan Lanning, I have said have done a fantastic job getting that train in motion. And you see the staff now that Lane has put together in Ole Miss in Oxford. He adds Joe Judge, an NFL coach, pedigree in regards to Bill Belichick, and obviously head coach with the New York Giants. I mean, Lane is really building something there, not just in regards to the recruits, but the JUCO talent and transfer talent as well.
Lane, of course, I've coached against Lane. I've coached against him when he was at FAU, and I coached against him this past year. I went to Ole Miss and coached against him. He is an incredibly confident, and some people would say arrogant, but he's just confident. I call him cocksure. He just believes himself, and he believes he can go out there and build a program that can compete in the Western Division of the SEC. And that's when you think about the teams that he's got to go do against with the size of the stadium, the budget, all he's got. But he has extreme confidence, and he's not afraid and believes he can get things done that most people don't believe. And that's why. And I think he sees a window. You got a new coach at A&M, a new coach at Alabama. You got a struggling Auburn's not quite there yet. So he's got a situation where he says, you know what, if I can go out there and do a great job with the portal and the NIL and bring in featured players, I can elevate Ole Miss from that. You know, the SEC West, I don't know how, care how good you coach at Ole Miss or Mississippi State. It's hard to ever be above LSU and Alabama and Auburn and Texas and those schools on a year-to-year basis. But I think he sees himself as the guy that can put that together and turn around. But I don't know if you're like me, but I still think he sees one more move in his head. There's one more move in him that Ole Miss can lead to. Because I don't care who you are year in and year out. To go out against the Alabamas and the LSUs every year and outdo them every year, that's a hard thing to do at an Ole Miss every single year just because of the things that you – because of the finances and the history and the facilities and all the number of players that you can get hold of. But I think if there's anybody that can take Ole Miss and compete for the SEC a championship game, I think it's Lane Kiffin, and that's because of his extreme confidence in himself and his ability to his belief that he can go out there and make the decisions to get it done.
Yeah, Coach, I actually thought that Alabama, you know, should have went all in for Lane to keep that train rolling.
Yeah.
You know, I understand there were some off-the-field issues potentially while Nick was there. But you know what? From an X's and O's perspective, I think he would have been a better fit for Alabama than Kalen DeBoer, who has a ton of pressure on him. But we'll get your take. We'll get you on next week as well, talking a little college football. It's been a pleasure. Hope you enjoyed it, and we're going to get you on throughout the year.
Sounds great. Love doing it, Joe. Take care, buddy.
All right. Coach Patton, great insight. We're going to have him on as the season progresses. We'll also get him on before the NFL draft. I do want to touch on this Kentucky potential hire for basketball, and we'll talk about the NBA and Major League Baseball from Friday. They're zeroing in on Mark Pope, the BYU head coach. You want to talk about addition by subtraction, this has got to be it. After Drew stays at Baylor, they don't make a run. They don't make a run at Donovan, and I don't think Donovan was a great fit. But this is a perfect fit, Kentucky, for your basketball program, because Coach Cal couldn't get out of the first round, and Matias Pope can't get out of the first round with BYU after they got boat raced by Duquesne, an 11 seed. Are you kidding me? The Kentucky,
it's crazy to me.
You're gonna love this.
It's nuts. It's nuts. It's not the worst hire, because BYU had a great year outside of the NCAA tournament. They had a great year, played some great basketball. But I just don't think that style of basketball that he coaches is going to work well in the SEC. It's a finesse three-point shooting team. They love to shoot the three. The SEC is more of a ground and pound type of thing in the paint. Also, they have their shooters, but the athleticism is unreal. I just wonder what kind of guys he's going to be able to get. You know, how is he going to be able to recruit the guys that he needs to get to succeed at that level? It's all about recruiting, Joe, right? You know what I mean? It's all about recruiting. Is he going to win the recruiting battle in the SEC County?
I mean, at least Coach Cal, I mean, maybe he sucked at the X's and O's for the last 12 years, but he had a little bit of panache. You can at least get a five-star. Mark Pope? You can survey 1,000 people in Lexington. They don't know who Mark Pope is. Are you kidding me?
Well, Joe, that tells me that they couldn't get anybody that they actually wanted. You know, is that job as lit as everybody thought, you know, as everybody thinks it used to be? You know, who wants the Kentucky job? Like, Hurley said no, and I thought his response to saying no is hilarious. His wife would divorce him, and he's finally starting to make some money now. You know, let's save up some money in the piggy bank. And then the word was the Baylor coach was going to go there, and I was like, oh, you know what? That's a nice little gig for the Baylor coach who's been successful with Baylor. Not extra successful, but, you know, he's a successful coach, a good recruiter, gets some big athletes to go to Baylor every single year. But the Pope hire is just, it makes me wonder who else said no, right?
Everybody. That's and Billy Donovan's on the outside looking at, let me tell you, I think you would have gotten the same result. Pope, Billy Donovan. Now, the only, I want to say, positive is Pope has coached in the NIL era, which is a huge positive over Billy Donovan, because Billy Donovan is still stuck in terms of the Granite Age. All right, he's stuck in the Flintstones, you know, walking with no shoes and trying to make tires out of stones. That's how far removed from the college game Billy Donovan is. But Pope, we got Pope.
That's, you know what?
In Lexington,
I respect Kevin Walsh and his basketball opinion, and he just tweeted out, Mark Pope is a really good option for Kentucky. Obviously knows the program and is coming off a very good year at BYU. Only question I have is, Billy Donovan say no, or did Kentucky not want to wait?
Well, waiting is a big problem. I will say waiting is a big problem in the college game, because with the recruiting aspect and the window of opportunity, and if you listen to the Coach Cal press conference when he went to Arkansas. Now, I met with the team. Bad news is there is no team. I got one guy. So that is the problem. These kids transfer out. Once Cal is gone, the attrition hits. You got to hit the ground running. You can't wait for Billy Donovan and Kobe White to play a play-in game. Are you kidding me? But not only that, they weren't going anywhere with Billy Donovan. Now they got the Pope. Smash him. No shot. We'll come back and wrap it up.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
And we're back wrapping it up. Show flies. Carver will be back tomorrow. We'll get you prepped and ready for the Masters coverage over the weekend. All the weekend bets. Don't worry. Fear not. I know we didn't talk much about the Friday night baseball. with the NBA and all that stuff, NBA's they're in the tank. You know that until the playoffs and the play-in games. I will give you my best bets for Friday Night Baseball. I talked about it on Coast to Coast with Carver this week. I'm not backing down. The Braves got rained out last game with the Mets. They now play a weekend series with the Marlins. I love the Marlins. Plus the 1.5 runs at minus 108, plus the 168 in game one of the series. And we'll go over the 8.5. So I like the Marlins this weekend to win the series from the Atlanta Braves. The other total I like, I tell you, Red Sox totals have been hot. They play the Angels at home over the weekend. Let's go up, up, and away over the 8.5 at minus 110. And then I'll give you one more. Reds, White Sox, over the 9 at minus 114, like that total. And I'll tell you what, I said buy low on the White Sox. I'm going to continue to do that. Plus 152 as a home dog. I like that. I also like them. Plus the 1.5 runs at minus 111. Favorite for the weekend, or at least on Friday, I like the Jays. Smash them! Smash them! The Jays, I think, absolutely boat race the Rockies in game one of the series. Like, under the 8, though, at minus 115. So, I think the Blue Jays, I wouldn't lay the 220. I would lay the 1.5 at minus 105 with the Blue Jays. Gamble at your own risk. Have a great day. We'll see you tomorrow for our great producer, Matthias Probell. I'm Joe Lees. Have a great day, everyone. See you tomorrow.